hand clap because he's worthy, 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 worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can put it in the chat, virtual hand clap. I don't care, but he's worthy to be praised. I don't know about you, but he's worthy, 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 worthy. Even if he say, if I don't cry for him, but he'll have a rock crowd for me. Hallelujah. And I don't want a rock crying out for me, but I'm grateful, grateful, grateful to him. Which all blessings flow, amen. For God has just been so good to us. He's been better to us than we've been to ourselves. And I'm just so grateful to him for giving us traveling mercy, amen. Allowing us to go up and down the dangerous highways. Allowing us to be here with you all one more time, amen. And just grateful to God. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome to the Safe House Church of Greensboro, North Carolina. My name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I have the privilege to serve such a wonderful group of people, amen, here in the city of Greensboro, North Carolina, amen, where we are a hybrid church, where we get together once a month, amen, and the rest of the time we're here online, amen. We just where God has us for the moment. We want to be exactly where he wants us to be. So when God's windfall comes through, when God opens up the door, when God starts to do what he wants to do, how many of you know that timing is everything? I listened to a message this week by Brother Jake, amen, talking about the timing of everything. And the more I thought about it, I thought about you and I. We are even here because of timing, amen. That your father met with your mother at the right time, and the timing of that egg and that sperm meeting together, everything is on time. And God has a time for you and I. And our job is to do what? That we are to hang in there for weep and may endure for a night, but that joy comes in the morning. And I'm grateful for his joy. I'm grateful for his peace. I'm grateful for just peace of mind. There are people who are struggling with peace this morning. There's some who just want peace. They just want to be able to sleep at night. They just don't want to fight with anxiety and all this kind of stuff. I don't care how much money and things that you have, but you know, it's the peace that surpasses all understanding. Only God can give that peace, that he can give you a peace about it in the midst of the trouble. It doesn't mean that you got everything that you want. It doesn't mean that everything is going the way that you plan. But what there's a peace to know that, Lord Jesus, that I rest on you, oh God, that I rest on you, Lord, and you have it all in your hand, oh God, and I'm trusting you. Amen. How many of you are trusting them this morning? That, Lord, I trust you, Lord Jesus. I don't understand it, Lord, but I trust you, oh God. I don't see it, Lord, but I trust you, Lord, because if you said that it's going to happen, that it's going to come to pass. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. God is good. God is good. And we just want to keep going as we go forward on this week. Amen. As we just do what God has called us to do and go where God has called us to go and say what God has called us to say. Amen. I'm just so grateful for that. How many of you enjoyed the message on last week? Amen. We talked about tools of release, part one. We talked about tools of release, part one. On tools of release, part one, God had us dealing with some of the things that they were saying that there's two things that control believers, amen, that they are used pretty readily. And we talked about those two things, which is fear and guilt, amen. Fear and guilt. And one of the things that, you know, what people scare us into doing things, amen. And God has never called us to be scared. He said, well, he's not giving us the spirit of fear, but he's giving us the spirit of love, power, and of a sound mind. That he doesn't want us to walk in fear. You know why? Because if we do things in fear, then we are working what? Off our emotions, amen, and not trusting his grace and not trusting his spirit, not trusting his love. And then sometimes when we work in fear, what happens is fear is based off, we talked about last week, it's based off our logic, amen. And that, well, we start to get our logic in there. We start to see things the way we see it, and we start putting our two cents on it, and we start putting things together that we believe go together. And then remember the counter opposite of that, that while you're walking in fear, to release that fear and to walk well and walk in his power, to walk in his love, to walk in his grace. Why? Because it's his love that brought us this far. It's his love that's taking care of us. It's his love that keeps us. It's his love that keeps us going. It's his love and his power. That is his love. Because he loves us, he has a commitment to us. And because we love him, then we trust him in faith. And because we trust him in faith, then we follow in his will and not our will. Oh, come on, somebody. And then since we follow in his will, then that means he's responsible for the outcome. And if he's responsible for the outcome, then I know it's an optimal outcome because he works with all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Amen. And this is why he tells us not to walk in fear, but we to walk in love. And fear, and, you know, fear is what the emotional stress of that, and that what fear because we put all this weight on ourselves. Why? Because we want to make the decisions, and because he's given us free choice. He allows us what to choose him or to choose our own choices. Amen. And because we choose our own choices sometimes, that means we have this tremendous responsibility. And then that means what? We are responsible for the outcome, which most of the time is not good. Oh, come on, somebody. Every now and then we get lucky, but we are responsible for the outcome. And if we're responsible for the outcome, then what? He has nothing to do with that because we made that of our own free choice and our own free will. Amen. So I told you on this week, we want to deal with the second half of that as we want to talk today from you on part two of tools of control and tools of release. Amen. How many of you got some release last week on fear? That you cannot be walking around in fear. And understand that every time I fear, I think about the love of God and how much he loves me. That, well, he's not going to let things happen to me. As the, you know, the young lady sung this morning, that he's not going to put no more on us than we can bear. And I know sometimes it seems like the load is heavy. It seems like things come on us. It seems like situations come. But the Bible said, well, that these situations come to make us strong. They come to look. They take us, for the Bible, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that in the day of testing that your faith fail not. That in the day you tested that your faith fail not. He did not say that you would not be tested, but he said in the day of testing that your faith would fail not. And I am grateful that in the day of testing that he continues to hold us in faith, that he continues to love on us, and he continues to keep us and walk with us and love on us. And what all we got to do is what keep the faith and know at the end that we win and follow his will and follow his commandments. Amen. 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 I want to also give honor to First Lady Ely, who's my beautiful bride. Amen. I'm just so grateful to God for her. Thank God for mother-in-law who resides here in the home with us. Amen. And our two children. Amen. Just as they, you know, give us pray for traveling mercy as we go out of town later on this afternoon. And I'll be out. And I'm going to the city of brotherly love. I'm going up to Philadelphia. Never been to Philadelphia, but I have an early morning flight. Amen. We'll still have prayer in the morning. Amen. I'm going to ask one of you all to take over the 6 a.m. prayer because my flight actually leaves at 6 a.m. I'm supposed to be getting on the flight leaving at 6 a.m. So we're just grateful for all that God has done. And God continues to bless us despite what the enemy wants to do, despite what the enemy's tried to do. That what I'm understanding that only we can mess us up. Only we can mess us up. So we got to understand and know that not to get in our own way. Amen. Not to get in our own way. All right, if you'll be so kind, I'm not going to belabor the point. If you'll be so kind with me, turn to the book. Today we're going to be in the book of Romans 5. We're going to start in Romans 5 and 18 through 21. And then you can put a finger in that. And then you're going to scroll on over to Romans 8. Romans 8 and 1 through 8. I got a little reading to do. And then we'll get this thing off the tarmac and go with thus says the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you would, make sure that you all are sharing this broadcast. Send this to others and let them know that the Safe House Church is on the air so that they may partake. Remember, we have YouTube. Amen. Now we also have a Twitch. So we also streaming live on Twitch. I know some of you may use that. Some of you may not. Some of you need to go find out what it is. It's another streaming platform. But we are also now broadcasting on Twitch. So we're expanding. Amen. And I'm just so grateful. Our website development is getting closer to getting done. Amen. We're trying to figure out some colors and some color schemes. Amen. We're going to still keep our purple. Amen. But trying to get some nice accent colors and things like that. And when we're done, you'll be able to go directly to our website. Amen. If you decide not to go into the Zoom account. Amen. But you can go directly to our website and be able to watch this message stream. So therefore, if Facebook wants to censor us and all these other things where they try to do things and they censor things, amen, that we will be uncensored, amen. We'll be available there to you, amen. And I'm so grateful that God has given us the wisdom and the ability to do various things, amen. So when you have friends, you can just send them a message and say, hey, just go straight to the Safe House Church, GSO.com, and you'll be able to see us live there. All right, so let's go. Romans 5, 18, and let's flip over here to the Bible. Amen. Let's move our reading. All right, so we are in Romans 5, and I want to start at verse 8. So let me scroll up, and it says this. But God condemneth his love, commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Oh, actually, I started the wrong verse. I'm sorry. 18, even though that was good. That was good. It speaks right to what we are doing today. I wanted 18. Sorry about that. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, that one man being who? Jesus. One shall many be made righteous. Okay. Then he says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace. Somebody say grace. Type grace in the chat. Grace did much more abound. That as sin have reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness until eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you know you just want to thank God for grace? We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Thank God for grace. Now I want to flip over to Romans. I'm going to go over to the 8th chapter. And we want to start at verse 1. 7, 6, 7, 8. Deliverance. So deliverance means what? Release. I'll give you a chance to get there. Romans 8:1. And it says this. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Remember, not your own will. When you're walking after your own will, you're walking in the flesh. But after what? The Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from what? The law of sin and death. Because he died, I don't have to die. Oh, come on, somebody. That's a shouting moment right there. Because he died, I don't have to die. Do you die physically death? Yes, but spiritually you don't have to die. See, the Garden of Eden was both what? Physical and a spiritual death. They end up dying physically, but they also died spiritually. Why? Because they were disconnected from God. But because of his redemption power, because of his grace, because of his mercy. Oh, come on, somebody. I don't want to get into it just yet. Let me not get ahead of myself. He says, in verse 3, he says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The flesh is weak. We keep saying that. Your will is weak. God sending his own son in the likeness. Oh, watch this now. In the likeness. Didn't say it was. Like we are made what? In the image of God. We made in his likeness. We're not God, but we are made what? In his image, in his likeness. Are y'all with me so far? He says, but in the son, in the likeness of what? Of sinful flesh. He was in the likeness of it. He wasn't sinful flesh, but he was in the likeness of it. And what? For sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That he took care of that for us. That the righteousness of the law. Watch this. Because the law still has to be fulfilled. But how many of you know that there was a replacement? Come on, somebody. That Jesus was our replacement. Because the law is the law. Like the law of gravity, if it goes up, it's going to come down. But Jesus was the substitute. So he died that you might not die. And thank God for what? That mercy. Because that's mercy. That the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. that flesh again. But spirit, when we struggle with this flesh. I struggle with this flesh. You struggle with this flesh. It's part of our walk here on earth. Watch this. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. That's what the word say. If you're always just carnally minded, that's death. Why? Because we die in this earth. We do what we got to do, but we do die. But to be spiritually minded is life and what? Peace. If you're looking for peace, get in the spirit. I can't make it much more simpler than that. If you're looking for the peace of God, you got to get in the spirit. Where what? The peace that surpasses all understanding relies. Watch this. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's against God. It's warring against God. Your mind is constantly warring against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Your mind and your body is not subject to. We have to make our body subject to him. This is what they call free choice. We have the ability to make that choice. You have the ability to make that choice. I have the ability to make that choice. We make that choice all the time. Mm-hmm. Neither indeed can be. Last verse here I'm going to read. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is still weak. It's still weak. So if I use for a subject, we're going to finish up this week with part two. Tools of control and tools of release. Tools of control and tools of release. So as we were reading here today, you find out we talked about last week that we have fear, and that fear is a thing that is used to control us. That, you know, it's the fear of job loss, the fear of a spouse loss, the fear of your loss of your life, the fear of this, the fear of that, the fear of all these things. And the Bible tells us not to fear. Why? Because he holds tomorrow, that we ain't going nowhere no sooner than he's ready. Do you not know that you don't leave the earth until God's ready for you to leave the earth? Yeah. Now, there's a story in the Bible that when it was time for, I think it was King Hezekiah, it was time for him to get ready to leave. And then he prayed to God, and God gave him 15 more years. I believe it was Hezekiah. So you can change, you know, change his mind also, right? He gave him 15 more years. So we are not to walk in fear. And I know that's easier said than done, because I have my moments. I'm very, very human like everybody else. And I have my days, and I have my ups, and I have my downs. I have my days that I want to be in my emotional little pity party. I have those days that I think the world is against me. I have those days that I struggle in my mind. I have those days that I struggle in my body. And, you know, it just seems like things just don't want to go right. And this one's against me, and that going there. But you got to remember, the Bible tells us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and spiritual weaknesses. Wickedness where? In very high places. So when I see my brother and my sisters, I know it's getting cliche that say that they are not my enemy, but indeed they're not my enemy, but it's those who force or who stress this upon them that's our enemy. And you and I, our arms are just too short to fight with them, but through the spirit, we are giants. This is why he said, well, it's in the spirit, because in the flesh, my arms cannot reach the heavens. Mm-hmm. But in the spirit, my arms can go as far as the God needs them to go. In the spirit, my fight can go as far as it needs to be. And we have to remind ourselves that we are to walk in the spirit and not in our flesh. So then he tells us about love, and then that love conquers all. That love conquers all. And that was just a little recap from last week. So on this week, I want to talk to you about the other tool that people use, guilt. How many of you ever done something and were just guilty? Just guilty. I've done some things. And some things, yeah, I really did them. And I'm guilty. How many of you ever been guilty? Just put in guilt in the chat. If you ever been guilty of anything, put guilt in the chat. Now, the thing about guilt is the guilt Well, I always start with our definition. It's talking about the definition of the definition is the fact of having committed a specific or implied offense or crime. Mm-hmm. Making them feel guilty, especially in order to induce them to do something. Do you not know that guilt is used as a form of manipulation? Are y'all with me? See, a lot of times people use guilt not because they know you're guilty, but they're using it as a tool to get you to do what it is that they want you to do. Mm-hmm. Think about the times that you've been, what we used to call guilt tripped into doing things. This, for some reason, you felt some condemnation because of something that you've done, and to try to make it up, what you tried to do is you felt guilty about it, so you did some things that were normally outside of your character, in that you were trying to fix something that you didn't even have power to fix. See, when Adam made his fall, and the Bible said there was one man that brought sin into the world. And then there was what? Another man in his likeness that would come and rid sin of the world. While Jesus dying to give us what? The opportunity to come back. So there's no room for guilt because of God coming down and placing himself as the substitute for us. Since Jesus put himself in place of us, then the guilt that we feel, the guilt that we fight with, the guilt that we allow people to use to manipulate us, to do things that they want us to do, to say things. This is what an emotional situation, right? Emotional. We have to be careful about our emotions. I tell you all the time that I know my emotions, my emotional intelligence has to improve. They call it your EQ, emotional intelligence. We as believers, our emotional intelligence have to improve. Why? Because then people just can't use our past to help us, our past against us to try to do things or put people in certain places and circumstances and situations because of things that you've done in the past. The Bible says like this, that if you came to Christ, that what? You are a new creature and all things are what? Washed by the blood of Jesus. So therefore, when you go under that water and water baptism and we say the name of Jesus over you, that it was Jesus's blood that has now washed you white as snow, and all guilt and all condemnation is to be left in the past. But this is people who walk around in their flesh. But we read this morning that if you walk around in your flesh, then it's impossible for you to please God. Why? Because you always thinking about the things that you done. You always thinking about the things that you did that were out of order and the situation that you put yourself in, the circumstance that you had. It was the baby that you aborted. It was the one. It was the sex that you had out of before marriage. It was the stealing that you were doing. It was the backbiting that you were doing. It was the gossiping you were doing. It was the smoking you were doing. It was the drinking heavily that you were doing. It's the promiscuous, the self of you. Oh, come on, somebody. Am I in somebody's closet on this morning? And he guilts you to say, why would God want to use you? You. Why would he want to use you? And I'm here to tell you today, that's just a tool of the enemy to keep you bound and keep you from going forward in what God has had for you. God is what he come that you may have life and that you may have life more abundantly. And we cannot have life more abundantly if we are fighting with our own guilt. Why? Because even when God says you deserve it, you've taken the reward from yourself. How many of you, God has blessed you with something and you couldn't even open your mouth about it because of the guilt that you felt that I did not deserve it? Do I have a witness? Do I see a hand in the chat somewhere? Do I have a witness to say, God has given me some things that I feel like, you know, I don't deserve it, because I don't deserve it. I keep my mouth shut about it and I don't say nothing to nobody. And what the Bible tells us, that what he has put us on the hill, that we are to be that light that's on the hill, not to be hid. Why? Because he wants the people to know that despite what you did, he wants them to know, despite what you were in, he wants them to know, despite your circumstance, despite how dirty you were, despite all this thing, that I still have room at the cross for you. How many of you know there's room at the cross? So no matter what I did, no matter what I done, I should not be able to be guilt tripped into anything. I know we as believers, as the song came and said, we fall down, but we get up. Yes. For it's not about how many times you fall down, but how many times do you have the gall and the tenacity to get up again? And to say, God, I'm going to try this thing again. For the Bible says that what? That race is not given to the swift or to the strong. But then that's another scripture that says, but you got to endure to the end. So I'm convinced that this thing is what? It is a marathon and not a sprint. So it ain't about how many times I fall down. How many of you seen those marathon runners? The Boston Marathon, just to complete it is an accomplishment. And all you got to do is just finish the race. But oftentimes we take ourselves out of the race. Why? Because we guilt ourselves out of it. We allow others to manipulate us out of it. We allow others to talk us out of what God has given us in our inheritance, that God has said that you're above and not beneath, that you're more than a conqueror. But we allow them to say, nope, nope, nope. Remember in 1996, you did this. Or remember in 2015, you stole this, you stole that chicken sandwich. And this is what our past do. It continually haunts us and it comes back. The things that you did in the past and you wonder, what if they find out? What if they do find out that what the Bible said that you are a new creature? See, it's that fear and that guilt that overcomes us that keeps us from going forward in Christ. It's that fear that keeps us from witnessing to somebody that said that Jehovah Jireh is my provider, because they'd be like, well, no, I remember when you was over there shaking it fast to make things happen. Because see, that's what they do. That's what they do. They bring up things from the past. They bring up stuff that you do, not noticing you. What they only know you from where they used to be. And I'm convinced and I understand that some people are only stuck in the past. Why? Because that's all they got going for them. That's the only thing that they have in common with you is past failures and mistakes. I notice oftentimes when I go home and I go see people I went to school with and things, the one thing, some of the things they remind me is, say, do you remember when we was in high school, we did this? Do you remember why? Because they have no connection with me in my present, nor do they have any connection with me in my future. So therefore, the only thing they can go back and do is grab things in the past. Mm-hmm. But you're walking forward as a new creature. And if you're in the newness of light, then you don't go back and put on the old filthy garment. The Bible says like this, you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Why? Because they're inflexible and they burst. They cannot hold that new wine. How many of you know that you're full of the new wine? I'm full of the new wine. And because of the new wine, that God tells me I can do some things. And I know I have some constraints on me. And most of my constraints were what? Self-induced from the guilt that I felt from things that I've done. How many of y'all been there? How many of you, guilt keeps you from going forward? I'm guilty, but watch this. I have mercy. So now we talked about enough about the tool of Satan that he uses to try to keep us from going forward. But let me tell you about the release tool, amen. That release tool called grace and mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is when you don't get the punishment that you deserved. We read this morning that the Bible says that that sin came into the world by one man, but that sin was going to lead by another man. And it was God's grace and mercy that he allowed his son, Jesus Christ, to come down in the form of a man to come in and take on the sins of the world so that you and I might have what? Mercy. It didn't say I didn't do it. I'm guilty as charged. But his mercy. How many of you say mercy? Put in the chat mercy. Thank God for mercy. What if you got everything you did? For the Bible says like this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life. Mm-hmm. So you deserve death, but it was his mercy towards us. His mercy towards you. When you messed up, he should have took you out right then. When you got out of bounds, he should have removed you right then. Mm-hmm. Because if you read the Old Testament, there was sometime when they got out of line, he took them out right then. One time the man was just trying to save the ark from falling over, and he told him not to touch it, and he went out right then. but his mercy. How many are grateful that we serve a God who is merciful towards us? Yet many of us are not merciful towards anybody else. We don't allow anybody else any room for error. Yet we have all this mercy. Yet we have extended mercy. Yet God has continued to be merciful towards us, and you're not merciful towards anybody else. When are you going to extend some mercy to somebody else? Oh, come on, somebody. I don't say, well, Pastor, I don't think they deserve mercy. Wait, I'm here to tell you that you don't either, but because of what? Now his grace. Woo, come on, somebody. What is grace? Grace is God's goodwill towards you. His unmerited favor, His favor, his goodwill towards you. How many are grateful for grace? Put grace in the chat. How many are grateful for grace? Because he gave me his mercy, and now I walk with in his grace, that even in all of this that I've done, that he still went tell me that I'm above and not beneath. He still tells me that I'm a winner and conqueror. He still tells me that he's going to bless me beyond measure. He still tells me that he's going to make a place for me there in the midst of my enemies, that he's going to make my enemies my footstool. That it's his grace, that they don't understand why, you know, I make the same money they do, and what, I can pay all my bills and still have some left over. It's his grace that God open up doors that I get things cheaper than everybody else, it seems like sometimes. It's his grace that I end up getting good deals and I pay half off for stuff and I end up being at the same place at the right place at the right time because of his eternal time. It's his grace towards us. And I ain't nothing I've done for his grace, but it's his goodness towards us. So did you get that this morning? So now we're talking about what? Guilt. Guilt is what? You did it. And you deserve everything you're going to get. But then if we walk in what? The spirit. The Bible said that what? You, it's impossible to please God if you're walking in the flesh. So if you're walking in the spirit, then what you find out in the spirit that we have this thing called mercy. Why? Because he took the punishment that you deserved. And he took it upon himself. And because he took that upon himself, now he wishes goodwill on you, and that goodwill on you is his grace. Oh, come on, somebody. I know y'all ain't probably never heard it like this before, but it's his grace. So tools are released. So when you hear guilt coming on you, all you got to remind yourself is that God has already paid it. He's already paid for it all. It was all paid for on Calvary through his mercy. And now he has what? Grace on my life so that I can walk forth in the newness of life and what? Not walk around in fear, but I can walk around with a smile on my face. I can walk around with my head held up high. Why? Because I know I'm a child of the King, and grace is on my life, and goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their life, and I should dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, come on, somebody. If you're a King's kid, let me hear you clap this morning. If you're a King's kid, let me hear you clap this morning to know that it's his grace. It's sufficient for us so that even when I fall short, there is this unmerited favor towards me. Even when I want to throw in the towel, there is his unmerited favor towards me. That even when the enemy comes in and they want to crush me, that even in the middle of that, he has a way to hide me and he provides a way of escape and all these things. And he puts his arms around me. And even when I feel alone, that he's there with me. And even when I need peace, when it's all chaos around me, that I can get in the spirit and he'll give me peace that surpasses all understanding. And even when I don't understand what's going on, that is his love that he covers me in. And with his love, he covers me, he squeezes me, he holds me tight, and lets me know that his grace is there for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you for his grace and his love. Let's go one step further, y'all. I threw one of my diagrams up. Y'all know me. I like these diagrams. Check this out. Let me explain guilt versus mercy and grace. So if you look on the left, it'll be my left. I don't know if it's your left or your right. But if you look there, we have guilt. See, guilt is this thing. Guilt starts after you get guilty. And y'all follow with me. If this is not true, tell me. But if I'm hitting the nail on the head, tell me 100. That guilt, after you're guilty, you follow this road of regret. How many you follow regret? Say, Lord, I'm guilty, but now I'm in regret. Why did I do what I did. I ain't regret that, you know, I'm there and I did whatever, but you know what? It's going to be all right. That we fall in this thing of regret. Uh-huh. So regret is what? I haven't taken responsibility for it, but I know I'm guilty. I know I did a hurtful thing towards somebody, and I know I'm guilty, but I don't care. We're talking about regret. Yeah, I shouldn't have did it, but whatever. We know those people. I know those people, right? But then what? After regret comes the judgment. Judgment day is coming, right? There's a judgment that is coming towards us. And it's our job to do what we're supposed to do so that when judgment comes, watch this, that judgment comes and that judgment leads to what? A punishment. And this is you, what, walking in your own way. I'm guilty. Yeah, I did it. So what? Now here comes that judgment. Because the Bible said what? After the death comes what? The judgment. And the Bible also says that what? The wages of sin is death. Uh-huh. Because see, death itself ain't just the judgment. Death is just what? Getting you ready for the judgment. So think about it on this trajectory that I'm showing here. Think about that death is right here. Because death leads you to judgment. Uh-huh. And then after judgment, you get what? Punishment or reward. Right? And since you're guilty, you're not up for a reward. You are for what? A punishment. Are y'all with me this morning? And that punishment, as we believers know, that that's eternal damnation in the lake of fire. Uh-huh. That is eternal damnation in the lake of fire. So I don't know about you, but this guilt path is a bad path. This guilt path will get you into some things. This guilt path will get you in some trouble. But we got to be careful of guilt. But watch God's side. Now, God's side is grace and mercy. Uh-huh. Mercy and grace. Grace and mercy. That what? I start out that I'm remorseful for what I've done. Remorse. That what? That when I walk in remorse, it leads to what? I do not want to do it again. We call it what? Repentance. How many, you know, that once you have grace and mercy in your life, Lord, I know I messed up. He didn't say we won't go mess up. This is why we have what? Mercy. He died for our sins. So we have mercy. So with this mercy, we walk in remorse that I messed up and Lord, I'm sorry and I won't do it again. And when I decided I'm not going to do it again, we call it repentance. So you start from mercy and grace because he could have killed you right away. He could have allowed you to be gone. He could have left you stuck in your sin. He could have just removed you from the situation and it had been over. But then you move on to remorse and you realize that could have been over. You realize that you deserve death and hell and the grave and judgment. You realize that. And then you walk in remorse and then a decision is made to repent. So repentance would be right here. Notice this. Repentance is here. And where was death? Right here. Repentance and death. See, if you want life, you repent. Woo! There's life in repentance. Why? Because I get out of sin. And if I'm out of sin, then I have life. Did y'all catch that? When I'm out of sin, I have life. And I have life what? Just not have life because I have grace on life because mercy is life. That now that I just have that, but I have it with grace and I have it more abundantly. Which means over and beyond his grace, more abundantly, right? Are y'all with me this morning? So we have the grace and the mercy and have it what? More abundantly. Mm-hmm. So now comes what? Instead of me getting the judgment, I get mercy. I deserved it, but you know what? I got a prayer for judgment. Oh, come on, somebody. So now instead of getting judged, I get mercy. Because what happens when I stand up here, they see the blood. They say, when I see the blood, I shall pass over you. So here it is. When mercy shows up, it shows up in the form of Jesus' blood. Are y'all getting this morning? I feel this anointing. It shows up in his blood that mercy shows up. So when he sees his blood, I'll pass over you because I'm covered by what? The blood. How many of you are covered by the blood? Put in the chat that I'm covered by the blood, covered by the blood, covered by the blood. If you're covered by the blood, that means that you are covered in mercy. Because when I see the blood, he said that I shall pass from over thee. So therefore, the thing that you should have got, the judgment you should have had, what should have come your way, the death and condemnation that should have been on you is not on you. That what? He took it on for you because it's under his blood. Woo! Man, this is powerful, this one. I hope that y'all get this. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm under his blood and I'm covered, what comes forth? Goodness and mercy. Goodness, right? And then his goodness is what? His good favor towards me. That instead of me getting punishment, I'm getting blessings. Instead of me being taken out, I'm going forward. Instead of my enemies taking me over, I'm walking forth and winning. Instead of me throwing in the towel, I'm going forth and know that, you know what, no matter what is going on, that God has got me. That if he said it, he's going to do it, that he is going to come to pass. And all I am required to do is to believe and stand in faith and do what it is that he's told me to do. This is the winning side. This is the winning side. This is the winning side. This is the side that's covered in grace. This is the side that's covered in his blood. This is the side to say, you know what, God, I messed it up. That, see, right between this grace and mercy, right? If you got the Holy Ghost up in here, it makes you remorseful and that you ask for the forgiveness. See, over here, these people here, they don't have the Holy Ghost. They don't have God's spirit. So they don't know what they're doing because this feels normal to them. Do you not know? Remember, sinners sin. That's what sinners do best. They sin. Sinners sin. That's what they do. Are y'all with me? Am I making sense to somebody this morning? Sinners sin. That's what they do. So sinners, they don't walk around in guilt. They might regret a thing or two. Maybe I shouldn't have did it that bad. But they don't walk around in this because they don't have any Holy Ghost here to filter this. Versus you and I, when we get right here, we have that Holy Ghost to say, you know what? Go get it right. You know what? You didn't do that right. And then we remorse. And then what? We repent. And then when we repent, we move what? To his mercy, because you don't get what you deserve. And because you don't get what you deserve, now what? You move forward in his blood. To his grace, and then what? He continues to bless you, and you go forward. Versus if you over here in the center, you're guilt. You don't care anyway. You don't have no filter here. So you just go forward because that's what sinners do. And you regret maybe a couple of things, but you really don't care. So you keep doing what you do and to the point that you reach death and you die in this phase. And then when you die, you go to judgment. And when you go to judgment, there is a punishment waiting for you. Woo! Come on, somebody. Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch that? Did y'all catch that? So what are you saying, Pastor? I am glad. What I'm saying is that God has a plan for you. And I'm telling you today that it's not fear and it's not guilt. And we here at the Safe House Church, we would not walk around in fear and guilt. We would not parade around in fear and guilt. We would not be stuck in that place. Why? Because God has not given us the spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and a power and of a sound mind. That God has not put us in the place of guilt. He said, no condemnation toward those who serve him and those who walk in his spirit. Why? Because he loves us and he puts his arms around us and he covers us. And because we're covered under the blood. See, he didn't forget that stuff. It's you that remember. And it's those you hang with that remember. This is why you gotta be careful for who you hang with. Because some people only know you for what you used to be. They don't know you for who you are now. They only know you for what you used to do. They don't know you as a blood-bought and washed believer. They only know you for what they used to see. They don't know you for where you are now. But you see what I'm saying to you this morning. So God knows, and he's covered you under the blood. So do not walk into these two. So anytime you feel any fear coming on you, what you going to do? You're going to think about his love. And anytime you're feeling the guilt coming up, you're going to think about his mercy and his grace towards you because you don't have to walk around in there. For where there was grace, what did the scripture say? Where there was grace, let me read it to you one more time, then I'm going to get on out of here. I stayed my time. He said, where there was what? Grace?
and let grace be more abound, right? And I want to leave you with that scripture. Watch this. And it says, Romans 5, let this dwell with you all week. Romans 5 and 20, he says this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. His grace and favor towards us. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that you got a lot out of this message on today. That we're able to walk in his grace and his mercy and his love. Those are our tools of release, that we're not going to be guilt-tripped into stuff. Even though you did it, it is what it is. It was gone. It's in the past. It's under the blood. And you're not to continue to dwell on that. We're not going to be what fear, that you're not going to intimidate us and put us in fear, that fear this happened, fear that happened. So be it. Why? Because I'm on the wings of Jesus anyway. And if he says that he's going to allow it, then he's going to allow it. And if he's going to allow it, then that means what? If he wants me here, he's going to keep me through it. And there ain't nothing I can do about that anyway. Are y'all with me on this morning? So let's pray. And I know that I hope that this has been a tremendous blessing to you. And I hope that you've enjoyed this two-part series. Go to YouTube, go back and rewatch the replay or whatever the case may be. Go listen to the podcast and let this bless you time and time again. So when you get to the point you're feeling condemnation, be reminded that he's not giving you that. Be reminded that grace is more abound. When you get a point of fear, go and remind yourself that he's not giving you the spirit of fear, but love and power of a sound mind. That we are to what use our tools of release when the enemy comes to try to bound us. And he's going to. Why? Because that's his job. He's going to be on his job. But we need to be on our job more and know that he's already done it and it's been paid. Oh, Lord, and the Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning, starting us out right now. We thank you for this tremendous message, oh God, that you've given us over this two-part series. Continue to bless your people, oh God. Let them walk, Lord Jesus, in your love. Lord, let them walk in your grace. Let them walk in your mercy, oh God. And throw away fear, oh God, Lord Jesus, and guilt, Lord Jesus. No things that people try to use to bound us, oh God. And Lord, we just thank you for all that you've done, oh God. Lord, we ask you to continue to touch them and take them, Lord Jesus. Ask you to take us down the highway safely. Bring us back safely, Lord. Let no hurt, humble angel come to us in any form or fashion. Lord, ask you to watch them and keep all your people, oh God, those who are vacation and those who are born, those who are doing, Lord Jesus, those who are having some tough times financially, oh God, those who are having tough times, Lord Jesus, in their bodies, oh God, those who are having tough times on their jobs, oh God, those who are just having a tough time in general, oh God, who are fighting anxiety, oh God, and all these things, Lord, release it right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, for it's your anointing that destroys the yoke and set the captive free, and Lord, I thank you, Lord, we love you, for we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God bless you all. I love you all. If you'd be so kind, this message has been a blessing to you. I ask that you be a blessing to the Safe House Church and your tithe and offering. Yes, we do believe in tithing here. We don't guilt trip people into tithing. Amen. The Bible says if you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. Amen. So if you want to reap a lot and you want to do a lot, then you have to what? Sow a lot. And then not just sow a lot, but sow well in good ground. And I'm telling you that this ministry here is good ground. I'm looking at over 40 years, but I don't think I've been tithing quite 40, but 14, about 25 years of just consistent tithing and offering. God has blessed me tremendously. People ask all the time, how you get this on a school teacher salary? I'm trying to tell you all, blessings, 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 blessings. God is just so good. You know, just, I mean, it's the little things sometimes. You know, I wanted to take my kids out on Friday and we went to go have a good time with one of the other brothers' children, Brother Jordan, and my kids in Jordan, and I had already had in my mind, I said, okay, I'm going to spend $100 for them to be able to play these little games and stuff and be children, amen. You know, we in COVID and all these kind of things, and, you know, we don't have fear, amen, but we using wisdom, and, you know, and they were all there playing, and we walked in, and it seemed like we walked in on the perfect day, amen. And it's those things, you know, those are the blessings of God, that the kids got the bowl for free. Oh, come on, somebody. I found out they bowl for free all summer long through the whole September. So now I have some things I can do with my kids and not have to spend a whole bunch of money. Then for a couple more dollars, then I can bowl with them for free. Well, it ain't for free for me, but it was a very nominal fee. Then on top of that, you know, I already had in my head, I won't go spend, like I said, over $100. But then they had, like, that particular day on all the video games, they had doubled up. So you pay like $30, and now I got over $100 worth of games for them to play. And now I got to, you know, get my children and let them just be kids. Amen. As I talked to them, these games were $2 for them. I said, I remember when these games was a quarter. But see, it's the little things like that. So I spent, I mean, I got three or four, I almost got $400 worth of value. And I spent right at $100. Do you see what I'm saying? And you know, $100 these days, Lord, we put that in the tank. That's a tank of gas for me. Amen. And I'm not saying that from a point of being arrogant or anything, but it's the honest God truth. You drive an SUV, you're going to spend almost $100 to put gas in it now. Amen. So I just want to remind you of the little things. God has kept my body healthy. People are getting sick. You know, I'm a little overweight, but you know what? He's kept me and he's kept you. Amen. So all these things I give him freely because he's what? He's always taking care of me. And I'm grateful for him. Even in things happen, job loss, all kinds of stuff. But you know what? God is still able and he's grateful. And you know what? He's still blessing me. We're going to get up in the morning. We're going to fly to Philadelphia and we're going to be up there and we're going to be a blessing. And God has blessed us. So I'm here to tell you today to be a blessing. Would you be a blessing in offering? Here at the Safe House Church, we give offering, our tithes and offerings on the Cash App. You can do $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Again, the $SafeHouseChurchGSO. Or you can go to PayPal, paypal.me/ministry8. Again, that's paypal.me/ministry8. Or you can do traditional mail. You can mail us a check or money order written to Finding Fish Ministries, P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, that's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. The Bible said in Luke 6:38, it said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give unto your bosom. Hallelujah and amen, 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 amen. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. Are you grateful this morning? I have nothing else for you, for God is good and he's worthy, worthy to be praised. And I hope that